Blog Talk Radio.
They civilize left, they civilize right, till nothing is left, till nothing is right. They civilize freedom till no one is free, no one except, by coincidence, me.
Of someone else's grief. Impose your lies on me. Nothing is left of me. A living dead to function in your own reality. In my head, I picture paradise, Jehovah and the Antichrist. These are the end of the day. Your footprints engraved in the pavement of demonic ways. Pump me with your drugs so I can't feel me. Take back all your love, for you have deceived me. You compete with God.
Let them know I answer to a higher God. Self-styled, man-styled in the promised land. Staring at a child soldier on a sonogram. He's in a fetal position, but with needle precision. His destiny it was written.
In the wilderness I hunger. Give me more of it, for my Lord goes far yonder. I stole the apple of wisdom, and now see I am naked. I have no shame, I have made love, I am no longer sacred. Burn the incense, pray to the sun. Pain is intense, yet I lay and mourn. What is love? Where is love? Who is love? Is it God? Whatever. Where is God in this world of deceit? Would we find, would we ever defeat the black in the heart of mankind, the dark in the
dark.
Truth, hosted by Lady Fatima, and I'm on Skype. Don't hesitate, call in prettypurplepassion.one and talk to me. This is therapy for me. It's midnight, it's quiet, and I just feel that I need to get things off my chest. And the first thing I want to do is apologize because I used the wrong name of a young lady, Sandra Bland. Everybody knows about her. I was so distraught. And there had been another young girl that had hung herself, And as a matter of fact, there's just been so many of my sisters that have been abused by the police. It's not even funny. So again, my heart goes out to Sandra Bland's family. And it's very, very sad that the community or the media would put out that this woman was so depressed that she would take her life. And a lot of times people with mental health issues, they never discuss them because of the stigma that comes with it. And this is an excellent example of a woman expressing herself, whoever knows how long ago, about how she was feeling. And somehow or another, the video is found and it's put up there as this is the reason she did it. So tonight I'm going to discuss why I feel that it's your fault, black man and woman, globally, it's your fault for what is happening to us today. Not only here in America, but wherever our black people are, we seem to be on the bottom of the totem pole. And no, you don't want to blame the victim. But how long are you going to be a victim? Sometimes we don't like the truth. We don't like it in our face. That has been one of our problems. When black people decide to look at in the mirror, checking our actions, and if we're ever checked on what we're doing, we always get the comeback of, well, you can't blame the victim. And I'm saying enough of this. Victim, it's your fault, and I'm going to talk about some of the things, and we're going to start before we left the continent on how we have let ourselves down. Now, you shouldn't talk about anything unless you have a solution. And I have a solution to our problem. And this is a solution that has been discussed many decades ago by our religious leaders, one from the Nation of Islam and the other from a minister at the Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. This was a pastor, or Reverend Allen, and he's well known. And we're going to talk about their meeting. This will be the last thing the people speak. And we're going to read again, not to mention Marcus Garvey, who's also talked and put all his effort and money, only to be sabotaged, to again tell the black man and woman that, especially here in America, you need a nation of your own. So Lady Fatima sounds off on the dilemma blacks face in America and globally. And I'm going to tell the truth and give out some amazing facts and proof that it's black people's fault for the condition in America, the islands, and Africa. And I am saying this morning to demand some damn land. Because all of this crying and marching isn't doing anything to help better our condition for our children. And black man, you have a responsibility to get us our damn land or shut the front door. Yeah. Racism, police brutality, mass incarceration, unemployment. We got the rich niggas syndrome, the NIGGAs, or, you know, now we got Hulk Hogan talking about he'd rather his daughter be with rich niggers, you know. So what's the deal? You know, we want to talk about this word and the Confederate flag discrimination without a nation to call your own, like in the days of Egypt. I'm sickened and I do mean sicken, when I see the History Channel and it talks about the different dynasties in Egypt and they recreate how everything looked, and I know that at that time, it was us. It was people that looked like me and Imam Bilal and the various races, variations of colors of black people. I know that that was us. The pictures tell us and show us that it was us. But what do we have to show today that we are truly the descendants of a great people in Egypt or Kemet that actually we were able to keep that knowledge? There is no place. There is no place to show the greatness of what we actually can do in America, the islands, and Black Africa. Don't get offended with words. Get offended with actions and lies. Some of my references will come from the Black demographics because, you know, I like to put it out there from my own perspective. The American Free Press gives us some information about incarceration. And then, of course, we have the Magnificent. This book is just, it's absolutely a must read. It's called Africans in America. And then, of course, the United States Bureau of Justice. So let's begin. Let's start from the trans-African slave trade. And I'm going to read from this book, Africans in America, because I want you to understand, because actually I'm tired of hearing, well, when the Africans sold the other Africans, they didn't know that they were going to be mistreated like they were. They didn't know slavery was different. So I'm going to read this because I want you to understand that I'm not ignorant. The development of slavery in Africa was tied to complexities of social caste and the unwielding forces of nature. There was no early moment when the decision was made, no defining moment that bellows. This is where it began and why. Weaker tribes succumbed and the hierarchy shifted again. And it was understood, according to the ever-eschewed rules of war, that the vanquished would serve. It was the price to be paid for weakness. But slavery in Africa was not rooted in the horrid squalor the world suggests to us today. As a matter of fact, Imam Bilal talked extensively about the word slave and how it referred really to the Slavic people and how Africans could never be slaves because we were black, and that term did not apply to us until we got here. And I argue that my ancestors never accepted the title slave. And when they left the plantation, their thought was, I'm not a damn slave, and that's why I'm leaving. Now, it goes on to say in Africans in America, those three wretched syllables, heavy with so much history, routinely conjured up painful images of once proud men and women with their spirits sheared away, slave ships crammed with cargo. Withering cargo, backs crisscrossed with welts and gleaming scars. Now, this is before they left the continent. The ripped fabrics of families, shoulders slumped, the auction block, midnight runs with guns popping, cicada in the distance, men as machines, chains rattling and rusting, innocent cursed by a skin's hue. In many African societies, enslavement had rules that dictated how the slaves were to be treated. They were required to be part of the family, either through adoption or marriage. Every slave was entitled to food, clothing, shelter. Slave owners had to be responsive and accessible. Slaves were to be trained and disciplined as children were trained to and disciplined. And although tradition spoke of punishing the slave for wrongdoing, a slave owner seldom had the power of life and death over his slave. In Africa, a rigid societal structure provided for monarchy, but there was also a complex layering of commoners, tradespeople, and lesser land owners. Slaves were used to facilitate the development of distribution of goods. However, these domestic slaves could own and manage property, take a husband or wife, own slaves themselves, or inherit substantial bounty at the death of their master. Almost immediately upon enslavement, captives could set their sights on the possibility of eventual freedom. Wealth meant much more than the accumulation of money. It meant being surrounded by people, being a part of a far-reaching extended family. Money and material goods were only good for buying allegiances from people and for purchasing slaves. So domestic slaves, far from being considered faceless property, were often adopted into the family, ultimately enjoying privileges afforded their owners' offspring. The families of slaves and owners often commingled and intermarried, leading to a further blurring of anticipated roles. Tradition and time could garner new freedom. In a striking correlation to the customs of the feudal Europe, these African slaves often felt harbored and secure in their bond to someone who, in the process of overseeing an investment, was duty-bound to protect them. Slavery that existed in Africa before the arrival of the European trader drew a very thin line between the free and the captive, while the slaves and generations to come would be doomed by their color and chained to their fate. In medieval times, they lived lives similar to many Western Europeans. So there you have it. Slavery in Africa. And because they felt that this was okay, surely it would be okay to capture their brothers and sisters and send them off to another people. So before we got here, something terrible happened. And we did it to each other. Our land was stolen from us, and we were placed on those ships by Africans who went inland, who waged war, who got their fellow African brothers and sisters, but they didn't see them like that. They just seen them as Africans from another tribe. They put them on the boat, and they sent them off. Now, I have a problem with even the idea that slavery in any form or human bondage and making people do something because of weakness or you feel more superior to this other particular tribe is still horrible. And I always bring back the fact that race is race. And nobody will ever be able to convince me otherwise that when a woman is taken and she is given to somebody else, so-called as a slave, and he has sex with her, and that's not her husband, that's not who she wanted to be with, because this that has happened to her has happened to her because of some misfortune, that we are to look at, oh, well, it was the Africans, though, that were doing it. It was absolutely wrong. Rape is rape. I don't care if the African did it. I don't care if the European did it, the Japanese did it. Women, and black women specifically, from when we were on the continent to when we got here, did not deserve to be raped and beaten and mistreated, not only by the European man, but by our own men too. So when it comes to the trans-African slave trade, we did it to ourselves. And there needs to be a global apology. I believe Benin is the only country that has apologized for the atrocities that have happened to the people in America and the diaspora. Senegal is noted for saying that African Americans don't need a visa and that they're welcome, and Ghana is known for the land that has been given to African Americans should they choose to return back to their ancestral homeland. It's still sitting there, and we have all of these millionaires and billionaires in our community, and the land is still sitting there, and nobody is doing anything. And subsequently, we have cases like our sister Sandra Bland and the numerous young black men that have been killed by the police. And as horrible as it is, and it is, I got more horrific statistics of how we're killing each other. Now, once we landed into America, of course, we didn't like one another. We were mad, scared, angry. And I'm sure that because of the wars that were going on in Africa and because of what the Africans were doing to one another, when other Africans were brought here from different places, I'm sure the Africans that were already here might have been like, hey, that's Amadou. He's the one that kidnapped me. We've heard many stories of how the African traders were also tricked and put on ships and brought over here. And if you don't think that people have a memory of what you did to me over there and now you're over here, you're crazy. So we started turning each other in, telling on each other, stealing from each other. Disassociation. If you didn't go with the group, then we didn't want anything to do with you. If you weren't a Christian, we don't want anything to do with you. We had jealousy and hatred for those trying to leave the plantation. Color discrimination with our own people, and it still exists today. Color discrimination. We are busy worrying about the Europeans discriminating against us because of our color, and we do it to one another within our group. We're in America, and fathers are leaving their families, and even mothers are starting to leave their families or killing their children through abortion. We have many, many positive stories of what we have done, and Lady Fatima has told a lot of the stories. I admire us, but I do think there needs to be a push, and I mean a huge push, for us to get it together and come together as one and again decide, like what was done in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, January the 16th, 1817. This is when the people got together in Bethel Church to talk about leaving. Now, I want to talk about some of these strong people who wanted to leave the plantation and how their own people turned on them. One would be the Nat Turner Rebellion. One of the most famous slave revolts in American history came in 1831 when Nat Turner led a bloody uprising in Southampton County, Virginia. Turner was deeply religious and planned his rebellion after he experienced prophetic visions, ordering him to gain his freedom by force. On August 21, 1831, Turner and his accomplices killed his master's family as they lay sleeping. From there, the small band of about 70 slaves moved from house to house, eventually killing over 50 whites with clubs, knives, and muskets. It took a militia force to put down the rebellion, and Turner and 55 other slaves were captured and later executed by the state. Hysteria swept through the region in the aftermath of Nat Turner's revolt, and as many as 200 slaves were eventually killed by white mobs and militias. Now that's where fear comes in. That's putting fear into your heart. You have a black man who is saying, I'd rather be dead than to continue to live under the boot of the European. And to scare us after this was done, 200 of our Africans were killed. That is to put fear in your heart. The rebellion also triggered a series of oppressive restrictions on slave populations. Again, to control your mind and to scare you, citing Turner's intelligence as a major factor in his revolt. Several states would pass laws making it illegal to teach blacks to read or write. And I said it's our fault globally. We have examples of uprisings, the Haitian Revolution, the most successful slave rebellion in history. The Haitian Revolution began as a slave revolt and ended with the founding and the independent state. So let me say to you people in the islands how much I admire you. And let me say to Haiti, you should be doing much better than what you're doing now. And please don't give me this, it's the white man's fault that we are so poor, because I'm not going for it anymore. It's ridiculous. This is an excellent example of rising up and determining that you're going to govern yourself. The main insurrection started in 1791 in the valuable French colony of Saint Dominique, inspired in part by the egalitarian philosophy of the French Revolution. Black slaves launched an organized rebellion, killing thousands of whites and burning sugar plantations en route to gaining control of the northern regions of Saint Dominique. The unrest would continue until February 1794, when the French government officially abolished slavery in all its territories. So, Haiti was established, Jamaica, and all the other islands, and when we look at these nations today, they aren't worth anything. And you definitely don't hear blacks saying that they're going in record numbers to Haiti. And you could say, well, it's because they speak French. You don't even see a large group of blacks from France going to Haiti. And you can't blame it on, they had this big hurricane. It looked horrible before. And it's because the leaders are mismanaging the money, and you can actually pay leaders off. Our leaders, this is what I'm talking about. The people that we put before us, the presidents that we choose of these different groups, and we hope that they represent us and they steal from us. And we don't hold them accountable. But we are very quick to say it's the white man's fault. This is therapy for me right now. Because it's almost unimaginable that in 2015, I am actually seeing what I'm seeing in our community. I only got an hour. I don't have very long, so I'm going to keep this going. You had Malcolm X, killed by your own. One of the most prominent black leaders of the 20th century rose from prison inmate to spokesman for the Nation of Islam. It says, while Malcolm X would clash with the government and other black leaders, it would be members of the Nation of Islam who would be convicted of killing. Years later, it would be revealed that the FBI used, COINTL, I think that's COINTELPRO, agents to infiltrate the Nation of Islam. Now, that means they use black men, okay? And cause tension between them and Malcolm and created false letters between Malcolm and the nation. However, this is just the perfect point of us being able to be used. Our men have been used to hurt each other for so long that it just comes so easy. And this is sad. This is real sad. Because if you're going to blame somebody, you got to blame the right people. And no, we don't want to hear that it's our fault. We sure don't. All the bad stuff that's going on with us right now, the last thing we want to hear is that it's our fault. But how are we going to change our conditions? How are we going to make things better if you don't examine yourself first? If you're in a bad relationship, how do you examine the relationship? Do you look at yourself? Do you say, this is really a bad relationship? Maybe I better check myself out? Or do you say, well, it can't be me at all in this horrible relationship. Certainly it's the other party. And so I don't have any responsibility at all to make things better. How about this? 324,000 U.S. blacks killed by blacks in only 35 years. Who's doing that to us? Oh, but they're putting guns in the neighborhood. Who's shooting them? Do you know that the majority of kids that are being buried today are Christians? These are Christians killing Christians? A church or churches on every block. Mad money going through the churches, but we can't even own our own corner stores. Turn some of the churches into corner stores instead of us having to go to Muhammad or Mr. Lee or whatever. You don't think that this is our fault? The condition of what we're experiencing today, when it comes to a community being poor, you don't have to kill one another. When I lived in Africa, the village would be the ghetto. I didn't see them just because going around killing each other, being mad at each other, not helping one another because they're poor. That's no excuse for all of this killing that's going on today amongst us. We need to be equally mad. And just like we are when a police officer kills one of us. And this is what I'm talking about when black people talk about something other than what we're so used to hearing, oh, they're a sellout. No. Sometimes you have to look at yourself and change your own destination. It says, over the past 35 years in America, like I said, an estimated 324,000 blacks have been killed at the hands of fellow blacks, proving, it says, racist white cops are the least of our worries. This was by a guy named Peter Papahercules, P-A-P-A-H-E-R-A-K-L-E-S. There is now no doubt, he says, that Michael Brown was rightfully killed in self-defense by Officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. The grand jury conclusively decided this was the case, and all the evidence confirms that decision. Yet most of the media, blinded black leaders and liberals, still try to make the case that the biggest problem today in America is white cops killing innocent black males. This myth has been repeated over and over again. But according to two statistics, and everybody should know Lady Foxman loves statistics, after all graduating with my master's in forensic psychology, the Federal Bureau, or the FBI, and the United States Bureau of Justice stats say that blacks have more to fear from fellow blacks than they do from police officers across the country. Of course we do. We are the closest to each other. It says, worse if you take an, on average, 9,252 black-on-black murders every year for the past 35 years, you arrive at a staggering 323,820 blacks killed by other blacks on America's mean streets in just 3.5 short decades. This is 2010 Bureau of Statistics, and it concluded that 93 black homicide victims from 1980 through 2008 were killed by, you guessed it, black offenders. Planned Parenthood. There have been over 2 million black babies killed by Planned Parenthood. And you might want to say, well, that's black on black crime too, whether you like it or not. And nobody can tell me that all of those babies that were killed could not have been our future doctors and lawyers and maybe the ones who might have stood with Lady Fatima and said, yeah, you're right. We need our own place. Again, I say not 42 million of us can leave, but there needs to be a group of us that stand up and say, we've got to go. Because our ancestors have told us this. And they preached this to us. And somehow we have forgotten. We have forgotten that we need to govern ourselves. This Planned Parenthood is a bad thing for our community. A bad thing for our community. And in this book, Africans in America, it actually talks about the Africans. And you know, before we left, where it talks about wars were waged to get prisoners of war to meet the demand for the slave. The African nations who engaged in this profitable treachery also grew more powerful politically and economically. African suppliers of slaves had to pay custom duties to the coastal tribes before they were allowed to sell to the Europeans. You want to say that this is not our fault? And if we don't talk about it and we don't hold one another accountable for it, can I say today, with all of the killing amongst each other, if there was a slave ship, would we be putting each other on the boat? Let's talk about some of these politicians. One famous Detroit mayor, Kwame, stole from the people, bankrupt Detroit, ran all the white investors out. On March 11, 2013, Kilpatrick was convicted of 24 federal felony counts, including mail fraud, wire fraud, racketeering. On October the 10th, 2013, he was sentenced to 28 years in prison. That's just one. And I have many, but I don't have a lot of time. But since I'm in the D.C. area, let's talk about this guy. D.C. officials stole $110,000 from children's program to fund Obama inaugural ball. His name was Neil S. Rogers. A former D.C. government official was sentenced Tuesday for his role in the misappropriation of $110,000 earmarked for D.C.'s children at-risk and drug prevention funds to cover a deficit for the 51st state inaugural ball for President Obama's inauguration in 2009. Rogers, found guilty of fraud in March, was sentenced to 36 days served on the weekend plus 2 years of probation. And Rogers must also repay the entire $110,000 as restitution for his crime. But, of course, let's talk about how the programs in D.C. for that period of time were shut down because they didn't have the money to fund it. Whose fault is it? If we don't hold ourselves accountable, if we don't hold ourselves accountable, who will? I'm going to take a short break, and I'm going to play this lady. Her name is Tink. She gives you some ratchet commandments, and I want you, T-I-N-K, and pull up her lyrics so you can understand what this sister is saying. This is another rapper who's not a Nicki Minaj. She's speaking the truth as hard as it is, talking about actions and what's going on in our community. You're listening to Lady Fatima on the Corner Truth, and I'm saying it's your fault, black man and woman. Globally, it's your fault, and we must change our condition. But we can only change our condition when we start looking at ourselves and be truthful with ourselves and change some of these actions.
What's up, though? Going in right here? I've been at this thing for years. It's done turned me to an animal. Some of y'all ratchet. I'ma write you hoes a manual. Step by step. G shit for you to keep. This the ratchet commandments. I need a moment to preach.
Thou shalt not.
Fuck up on a nigga when you know he got a missus. You are labeled thy bitches.
Thou shalt not.
Lie up on the Bible. How you looking for a title when you sleeping with his rival?
Thou shalt not.
Put trust in these men. These niggas are now bitches with acting so feminine.
Thou shalt not.
That's a side of truth. If you know your pussy lose, you a hoe, so do better. Every night doing the most up on Instagram. Maybe that's the reason why bitches, they can't keep a man.
Y'all can't sit with us.
Know what I pray to church. These bitches ain't really friends. She probably gon' take a man. I'm done with the phony hoes. These bitches is really bald. They rather be on the block than taking care of the crib. I'd rather be making money than taking care of some kids. Slip up on a heathen. Always keep it cool. Never let them know you need them. Let a nigga see your sweat. Fuck a bitch and get the check. Move along, you know the rest. Respond to these bitches. They envy what you doing and they only want attention. That's about the truth. If you know your rent due, get the fuck out the club. Every night doing the most up on Instagram. Ooh, maybe that's the reason why bitches, they can't keep a man.
Y'all can't sit with us.
You know what I pray to church. I told them, like, I'm irritated, devastated. I thought we had some young queens, what you mean? We act belligerent, generation of ignorance. Bitches live for the gram, so they life ain't got no significance. Boy, this should be a trip like Expedia. She won't pick up a book, but she'll probably bust it open for social media. Man, you'd be surprised. Covenant, loving, and fucking the team. Getting by just by living and making it work on their knees. Let's not debate it, these bitches is overrated. They probably will never learn, cause they lacking their home training, yo. But niggas lying on their money like every day. And niggas ratchet too, just in another way. You fake fathers, never held your daughters, never had a conversation. You too fucking immature to get an occupation.
Every night doing the most of all Instagram.
Welcome back to the Corner Truth, hosted by Lady Fatima. Imam Bilal, he couldn't make it with us this evening, but he will be coming on. I have a caller on the line. Caller, thank you for calling in. You're calling from what city and state?
Yes, you know, I didn't give you my name. My name is Ocean.
Hi,
can you
Ocean.
Hear me, my sister?
Hi. What city and state are you calling from?
Okay, I'm calling from Northern California.
All right, so it's
okay. By way of the south.
All right.
By way of the south, so I'm kind of, you know, traveling around. But I want to submit this to you, and I would like for you to respond however you see necessary. But I'm asking you to give it some intricate thought. Now, the ancient Kemites said that to not know your past is to forever remain a child and to be stunted in your growth. Now, having said that, when and why, or let's say, when will we take a critical look at the remedies that we have been applying to our situations over the years, and I'm talking about globally, because you said globally it's our
that
fault.
That globally. Yeah, it's global.
So I want to submit this to you. In America, America thrives off of capitalism. One of the intricate parts of capitalism is a system of racism and white supremacy. I think they go hand in hand, you know. But here's the thing now. America needs fresh oil in for its well-oiled machine. It needs fresh oil in that it needs cheap labor in abundance. And so the first rationing of it was Africans. That was free labor. Now they have the Mexican government propelling a preponderance of Mexican people who provide cheap labor for this capitalist system. So that's like new, fresh oil
blood
for this machine. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, we understand what America runs off of. But globally and historically, since memorial, community forward. I never hear all these scholars speak about it. And I'm going to tell you this, I've been researching for about 7 years now. And I have a total new understanding. And I will tell you this. Every black African culture or country has only risen under the auspices of females in the marketplace and at the apex of the political agencies for the company. I mean, for the country. So what am I saying here? That's the thing that propelled the black man forward,
mm-hmm,
with his woman.
Yeah.
And so it is the remedy for what is wrong now. But brothers hate, oh, they say I make their chest hurt when I begin to speak. They fight me. They say ignorant things to me. But I'm going to tell you something. the reason the black woman is under attack in Northern America is because she is the remedy for what is ailing the black community. If they began to put black women in back in the marketplace and back in politics and let them represent the various communities, I think you will see a change. And the reason they don't do it is because black women believe that patriarchy, a majority of black women believe that patriarchy is the fix. It is for some cultures, but it is not for us. And I know people say, no, that's crazy. It has not, when you look back over, it has not been. But why is it that the black woman is needed? Why is it?
Well, you know the old saying, of course, kill the men and save the women. We are very unique. Our history, like you said, in Africa and here, we have been able to rise. Actually, in some cases, when you look at education and jobs, higher than our men. We might not, still women don't get as paid as much as men. But when you look at the education, of course, black women have higher education. There's a statistical rates of us being more educated. And I guess that can translate into our men feeling as though, you know, they're inferior to us. And so I guess today when you, and I see an attack on black women, and it is because we are basically the foundation. We're life. We're the ones that give life. And if you don't take care of the root of your foundation, the mother, then surely all of the branches are going to die. So I believe when I talk about land, when I talk about resettling back in West Africa, I believe it's a duty of black women to say to black men, listen, we've seen the European man build all over this world, places for you guys to be able to come in and get your feet done. And I mean, they just live lavishly. When are you guys going to do this for us? Because like what you said, we have held you down for so long. But I think that it will be our fault as black women if we don't demand, and this is what I'm talking about, demand that they do better. And even to the point of the rich black, the amount of wealth that's within our community, they say on a yearly basis we spend some $1.2 billion in this country. In this country, if we don't say, even to the rich here, you guys have a responsibility to open up the stores in our communities. You guys have a responsibility to adopt some of these schools, these public schools. You make millions. I don't care if you're a rapper, basketball player. The amount of wealth, even within the African culture, you have a gentleman, let's see, I don't want to mess up his name. But anyway, this man is from Nigeria, first name Mike. His last name is Adenuga. He is worth $4.6 billion. You hear me, sister? With somebody with that kind of wealth, why should my sisters in Africa be carrying water on their head? With the amount of oil wealth that Nigeria has, why should my sisters not be walking down streets of gold, like I said, like it was in the days of Egypt or Kemet? Why? But if you don't demand and hold those accountable, can you imagine if the whites got over here and said, well, we're here now, and we're not going to build anymore. White women, they were slaves. They were the actual first slaves here in America. That's where the word Slavic, that it comes, it's their word. And now they might want to sugarcoat it. Oh, they weren't slaves. They were indentured servants. No, they were slaves. They were the actual first slaves in America that nobody talks about. But through their feminist movement, in a way, they were saying, we're holding our men accountable for making life better for us. And what we've done, sister, is hold our man down. We haven't held him to the fire to make him accountable for us here in Africa and in the islands. So why are we still where we're at today? Because we don't have more voices saying, we demand more. If we're going to buy your records, if we're going to buy your tennis shoes, if we're going to come over to Africa and we're going to shop there, you must make the conditions better for us. I've lived in West Africa. I love Senegal. I can't wait to go back. I lived in Gambia. I love the Gambia. They could do better. Jammeh took office some 20 years later. Jammeh is still in office. You know, you cannot move forward when you have things, when you have leaders like that, a president for life. Where does new blood come in at? If you have, and it transfers again, ma'am, over to here. You have Farrakhan. Has he not nurtured somebody that could really take his place? What happens when he dies? Why is it that when our so-called leaders die, the revolution dies? We're not holding them accountable. Nobody is saying in our faces that it's our fault. We can come up with many reasons of why we can't. But we need to come up with more solutions. And we need to especially hold people that have so much wealth accountable for not opening up stores in our neighborhood, for not opening up grocery stores in our neighborhood, and make them tell you why. Is it because they feel like the white man? If I opened up corner stores, you people are going to come in and you're going to burn me out when you get mad. This will be your own black brother or sister who's rich telling you that they don't want to put a corner store in your neighborhood. They would rather for a foreigner to do it. And we're not mad. We're not angry. We're not calling them accountable. And we're going to have to carry this on because it's so much that I have that talks about our wealth, black shares of U.S. businesses. But I want to say this, because sister is well-read. I want you to know that in this here United States, we only have 54 black bookstores left. You hear me? Sister, did you hear me?
Oh, yes, I'm hearing you. I'm
right. 54.
I'm just kind of startled. I was waiting for you to, and I was waiting for, you know, the other shoe to drop. So there's only 54 black bookstores left. And
in the United States.
It's scary.
That's scary.
But the conscious community, you would believe that there's just a litany of black bookstores with what we hear. So I'm thinking that you can't believe what you hear and just half of what you see, you know, like in those old, that to coin that old phrase.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this. Could it be possible that we need some extremely responsible sisters to step forward and form sisterhoods that can see about some finances and some serious building?
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that women are going to have to start doing what they have always done since Memorial.
Yeah.
I know that the black woman is the oldest person on earth, first being on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So she has always been able to make a way. They say if you feed her, she will feed the village. If you educate her, she will teach everyone.
That's right.
That's what people say. Now, I didn't make this up. And
that's
why when people give, they give to the woman. Because, and I'm not slighting, and I'm not a feminist, but I need for people to know you take a chance when you don't give and educate the mother, you take a big chance and a big gamble. So what I'm saying here is it's time for sisterhood. And we don't need leaders. That doesn't work. We need a mindset. We need a mindset. We need for sisters to start saying, listen, if you can't get the trash off the streets, we ain't having no relationship.
That's
right. We can't
right.
stop gangbanging. We can't.
I think my sister, I might have lost her. But I do want to thank you so much for calling in. And we will carry this on again next Saturday morning on the Corner Troop. Peace, y'all.
Man, I hate rap, but if the shoe fits, wear it. I become a freak of nature, all the kids stare. Who walk around bumping raw with the shit blaring, saying fuck school and dropping out like a miscarriage. I'm embarrassed, and I'm ashamed I played a part in this devilish game, making your common sense perish. But I ain't taking the full blame, cause most of you chumps running around here ain't never had strict parents. All of your brain cells rotting from weed. You feeling like if you ain't got it, life's not as complete. You having sex with every motherfucking body you see, with a past so dark that Satan will jump out of his seat. But still you out in these streets thinking you hot as can be, without the knowledge to lead. So you just follow the sheet, making sure your lame swag is all polished and clean, while your favorite rapper's like, yeah, he got it from me. You been brainwashed by a fake life that you used to living. When I say the word fun, what do you envision? Probably drinking and smoking out with your crew and chilling with clueless women. You trying to bang, bumping new edition. Is that all you think life really is? Well, if so, then you're a fucking idiot. I honestly feel like grabbing your head and hitting it. Matter of fact, you don't even deserve a brain. Give me it! Do you even have any goals aside from bagging these hoes and packing the ball? Well, let me guess, no. You're only in school because your parents make you go, and all you do is play beer pong and hang out with the bros. Yo, society's got you living for a whack cause. You're a fucking adult with no skills at all. You don't read any books or play ball. You don't draw. You literally do nothing at all. Do you fiend for the glamorous fruits you don't have? Cause you idolize rappers that do. And all they say is, I got money in a stack to the roof. And now you think that it's gonna magically just happen to you? How? Your lazy ass don't commit to labor. You pick something up, dry it out, and put it down 2 minutes later. Then you complain about your life cause it ain't getting catered. Now whoever tries to call you on your bullshit's a hater. You wanna succeed, you have to try. Or one day you'll get older and regret it all cause you can't provide. Your friends are lowlifes, don't act surprised. Look, just cut the bad fruit off of the tree. Make the sacrifice. Girls, stop acting like you want a guy with traits like Romeo, bitch, that's a fucking lie. You always talk about how every man's faking. You can't take it and you want something real. Shut up, tramp, save it. Twice a week you put on your makeup and damn bracelets and head to the club half naked with your ass shaking. Pulling the low-life nigga who claim he cash making till you let him hit and find out he work at the gas station. One of them niggas got you pregnant, now you can't raise it. But you caused it. Your actions made a fat statement. You want Romeo to act patient and stop fronting like he in the club posted in the back waiting. It's the club where guys put on a new persona after they get loaded with a few coronas. They always shouting and wild out with habits that very few condone them. Then they look for beautiful brainless bitches like you to bone them. Then when they leave you, you cry and cry talking about, oh my god, I can't find the guy. I spent so many years and I've tried and tried. Why am I even on earth? I should die. You want Romeo, you're not worthy. You're cockthirsty, you're nasty and probably got herpes. Sometimes the secret to find is to stop searching. Try a new formula cause your last one's not working. The term real niggas publicly used, and I need to know what it means cause I'm fucking confused. Are you one for always busting your tool with nothing to lose and something to prove to homies up in your crew? Is it because you selling drugs to get loot and brag about how you done been shot and stabbed like it's fun to be you? But your life's a struggle, right? And you just hustling through. Nah, you hamster ass nigga, you just stuck in the loop. Man, why do black people gotta be the only ones who can't evolve? Cause you in the streets acting like a Neanderthal. It's clear you can't stand the law. You lost as an abandoned dog. And all you interested in is fighting, rapping, and basketball. I can't even fuck with you. Cause if we out in public, you gon' get caught stealing some shit and get my ass in trouble too. You'll get old and be nothing. Living life in these streets, thugging and starting shit with anybody mean mugging. Look at you, a real nigga, thinking your life's cool. Girls used to turn me down for guys who were like you. So you grab their heart and shove a spearhead right through. Then they regret it because it wasn't the right move. Your real nigga talk seems bold. A real nigga don't brag about being real as long as he knows it. and his future doesn't seem hopeless. A real nigga stays out of jail, handle shit and he keeps focused. So all you rappers who sold it out in the Bronx, you inspire the issue I wrote about in this song. You go to pile on the young who roam around in the slums. See, this is what happens when rap's overcrowded with bums. Hope the hour is long when I'm rolling out with your tongue. The man above is my guide, you know the power is strong. All you menace and freaks are only in it for cheese, and the mass control limit was breached. Fuck hip hop. They only in it for cheese, and any eyewitness can see they purposely making the innocent weak. My existence on this planet's for you. I ain't only here to benefit me. Yo, we need to make a change while there's still time. It is hard, and sometimes I struggle trying to reveal mine. I can guide you if you feel blind. I just need you to be willing to journey into my ill mind.